which is way better for me.
Me too.
Here we go in 3, 2, 1. This is the Big Time Talker Podcast. Burke Allen here, broadcasting live from San Diego today. Thanks to our friends at SpeakerMatch.com. They sponsored the show. We love them for it. If you're an author, a speaker, you want to find places to maybe to talk about your book, well, SpeakerMatch.com can help you with that. And maybe you're a meeting planner and you need speakers. You guys can find one another at SpeakerMatch.com. Why are we in San Diego? Because the weather is amazing. But beyond that, this is the American Library Association's annual conference and exhibition. They're kind enough to ask me to come in and talk to these amazing authors. And boy, they are here in droves, thousands of them. Trevor Noah from The Daily Show, the headline speaker last night. And today in our studio, if you're a regular listener of the Big Time Talker Podcast, you're going to recognize his name. We had him on the show before. He's an award-winning author. He does these thriller novels and is a member of the International Thriller Writers Association. And also, in his free time, he's a computer information guy, so he's all up on AI. Fascinating guy. We'd love to talk to him. T.O. Payne is in the studio. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you doing, Burke?
Welcome back to the show. Great. All right. This new book, The Delusion. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Get me interested.
Okay.
Sell me on it.
Let's see how we can do with this. The Delusion is about a graduate student who has been spending her adult life studying. She's in psychology. She's been studying the ways to persuade the masses. Her studies are in mass persuasion. So it's one thing to hypnotize a single person and get them to do what you want. It's another to get thousands of people psychologically under your will. And that is where her research leads, because right before she's about to publish it and become a renowned psychologist, someone kidnaps her professor. And the threat is that they are going to use social media, Facebook, X, as in Twitter, and all those other platforms. They're going to use it for evil purposes to basically gaslight the world into doing what they want.
Now you see why we love this guy and his books. These are page turners. These are not academic press. This is not stuff that's going to put you to sleep. This is not the kind of book that you take to bed at night and you go, I'm going to read two, three pages. It's going to knock me out like a 20 milligram melatonin. These are the kind of books that you stay up and you're bleary-eyed when you go to work the next day. The Delusion from T.O. Payne. All right, I don't want to oversell it, but I do love your stuff. And what I love about it is that you bring your world that you know into these books. Was that an intentional thing when you started off as a writer? Was it, I'm going to write what I know, or did it just organically happen?
I would say both.
Okay.
And it is so much writing what I know. All of my novels, I have 4 published novels now, all thrillers, all similar, different settings. But for me, it's very cathartic because I would say 30-40% of what is in my thriller novels is based on my true life experiences. And so for The Delusion, for example, there is a timeline that begins in the 90s. And I loved going back to the 90s. I graduated in 1995 with a degree in computer science.
Okay.
Right when the internet started. And so in writing this book, I had a great time reliving the music and thinking about websites. Like back then, there were people advising, you know, oh, look at this idiot. He's just using the internet to sell books. Like, what's that going to turn into, you know?
This Bezos guy, he's got nothing happening.
He's got nothing happening, yeah. Memories and discussions like that. And all of those things bleed their way into my books. Absolutely.
T.O. Payne is our guest today, the award-winning, multi-award-winning author of these thriller novels. I went to an International Thriller Writers event in New York City once, and I thought it was fascinating to see like guys like you who write these kinds of books. And you know, you think, James Patterson, for example, those kinds of guys, you're all gathered around these experts in their field. So they're like forensics experts that come in to tell you how that really works, detectives that come in to tell you what it's really like in the precinct. What sort of research do you do to make sure that you get it right and nobody calls you out on stuff?
Yeah, so I do, I attend those, and I've attended forensic sessions at conferences for, specifically for thriller writers.
Right.
And I read a lot. I probably read more than I write. I read fiction and nonfiction.
Well,
so,
you have to be a great reader to be a great writer, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Who do you read? Well, who do you like to read for fun?
So I really like Riley Sager and Harlan Coben. And of course, you know, the never-ending Stephen King novels, like from childhood, like most people. And C.J. Tudor is also, she's a great thriller writer, author.
I met Harlan on one of those thriller writer things, and he's done okay.
Yep, absolutely.
He's done okay. So this premise, The Delusion, you wrote it, did you set the whole thing in Baltimore?
Yes, it is completely set in Baltimore.
So do you go to the cities that you set the books in, or do you just Google the crap out of them and learn, you know, where everything is and what people do? Like, you know, I live close to Baltimore, so are there things at the Inner Harbor, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with this one, I did both. My other books, I actually lived in the cities where the other books are set, except for one. But this one, I'm a big exercise, long-distance endurance exercise.
I read this, and not to interrupt you, but I read that you have run marathons in all 50 states. Is that right?
Yeah, last February, I completed running a marathon, 50 marathons in 50 states. And this book, I was in Baltimore running a marathon, and I was there for a few days, and I got a sense of the city, and there was something about it, I just felt like I needed to make my next novel in Baltimore. And then I started Googling the crap out of it.
On top of it.
Yes, on top of it.
Well, Baltimore is, like most great American cities, is a character in and of itself.
Yes.
You know, you got John Waters from there, and you've got, you know, all these unique locations, and Edgar Allan Poe has the background there. So I think it's great that you write books that way. T.O. Payne is our guest today, by the way, on the podcast. I think perhaps there might be something mentally wrong with you that you have run marathons in all 50 states. Generally, if I'm running, there's a large animal or a policeman behind me. Tell me about that quest to run marathons in all 50 states.
Yeah, so like around 2001, 2002, I kind of went through some tragic life experiences that gave me a great appreciation for life. And I made a bucket list back then. And one of them was to write a novel. And now I'm fortunate to have written like five. One of them was to run a marathon in each of the 50 states. Another was to complete an Ironman, which I did in 2016.
Wow.
So I've just kind of been working through these big challenges from that list from back then, just in gratitude for being alive. It's been a great experience.
So can you tell our listeners what that life event was?
Oh, sure. My firstborn daughter, when she was 3 years old, she acquired neuroblastoma, which is brain cancer.
Yeah.
And she died roughly 3 months before the Twin Towers fell that year. That was quite the year of reflection and looking at my own life and my wife and I. And my wife and I, same thing. She's doing triathlons and all of this is, you know, the idea is to live life to the fullest. For those that we remember, and they can't.
Good for you. T.O. Payne.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. He's the award-winning author of these fast-paced thriller novels. On book five, is that right?
I am in the middle of book five now. It will be published in February, and I'm really excited about it. I think each of my books get a little bit crazier and a little bit funnier. The last one, The Delusion, I was told that it was inescapably funny, even in dark moments.
That's an interesting bit of feedback, right?
Yeah, because it's dark thrillers, you know, life is threatening, the stakes are raising, and then some obscure funny things happen that just kind of make the novel seem very, very real to life.
It may be hard for you to armchair quarterback this because it's about you, but as you look back on your writing, are you a better writer on book five than you were on book one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not going to say which one was book one because people may think it's not as good. But
yeah, because it's all you, right? It's all your own perceptions, right?
Yes, but my writing and everything, and I really focus on writing to entertain the reader. There are things, tons of things, they're called little darlings that writers will put into their novels and they read them on. read them later, and it's like, well, that really only means something to me. It doesn't mean probably much to the reader. So
I've never heard that term. What is that, little darlings?
Oh, it's a classic term when you're editing text and you read something that the author like put that in there and it sounds really cool and neat, but it's kind of ridiculous in reality. Like anyone else read it would be like, oh, that's goofy.
So it's a little darling only to the author.
It's a little darling only to the author, and you have to kill your little darlings. You have to take them out whether you want to or not. And so I've really, as each book has gone on, focused on what will entertain the reader, what will give the reader the most fun. And if I'm having fun writing it, then more than likely someone will have fun reading it.
These books are very cinematic in scope. They feel like movies. Mm-hmm. And I told you that last time you were on the podcast. I think that these books would translate well to film or television, you know, like a limited run series. So real quickly, run us through all four books. We talked a little bit about The Delusion, so let's talk at least about the other three.
Sure. So my first book that I wrote, and I will say which one it was, because it is actually a great book. It was based on my true life experience living in a cult for about 3 years. And the characters and settings and the seances and speaking to people, spirits, being transferred through other people. All of that part is true. And then I layered on top a girl who, rather than being recruited into the cult, is trying to escape. And another person is trying to figure out, you know, why and where she's going. And it culminates in, you know, quite high suspense.
And the title of that book is?
That book is called The Teaching, which is what we met every Sunday to talk to the spirit and discuss the teaching, is what we used to do when when myself and my family lived there about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was interesting. That was not on my bucket list to do in life, by the way, but we did. It was very interesting.
I can imagine, especially looking at it in the rear view. All right, what was the second one?
The second one is called The Resentment, and it's about Lauren, a woman who has everything until someone kidnaps her husband in an attempt to steal corporate technology. And it's based on a time I lived in Seattle for about 3 years as well and worked for Amazon in the technical division part of that. And when they don't get what they want, even after killing her husband, which she develops a resentment, of course, they go after her son. And then we find out her son had actually been kidnapped 10 years earlier. And all of these secrets become unraveled and known to her. The third book, so that was The Resentment, and she has major resentments, of course.
Of course.
The third book, the tagline is The Most Dangerous Game Meets Rain Man, and it's set in the Rocky Mountains close to where I live, where a young woman and her autistic brother inherit a cabin up in the mountains. And they decide to have a reunion there with their childhood cousins because they used to go there as children. When they arrive, there's a mysterious hunter in the cabin who's been using it for nefarious purposes. And then, as can happen in a thriller novel, the snow comes and they get snowed in with him. And things go badly.
Things go badly.
For her and her brother.
Did you do a lot of research on the autistic brother?
My oldest child is actually autistic. And so I have a few years of natural research, I would say.
To make it work in there.
Yes, but I did do other research because there's all kinds of symptoms and things when you're on the spectrum. And I was nervous about having a character with those issues in a thriller novel, but I've received a lot of messages from readers saying, wow, that was portrayed very accurately, and thank you for not focusing on those issues. The person is a capable part of the mystery in the thriller, so the character was. So.
One of the great things about your books is the way you write these female characters. And I'm not sure you can articulate how or why, but why do you think you can do that so well?
So part of it is a lot of work that I've done on myself, dealing with my own emotions, and some would be like grief counseling going way back to when my daughter died.
Right.
But then beyond that, self-improvement. So I think really, not to like say men are callous or hard or don't have emotions, but I am a very sensitive person. And then way more than that, I rely on my wife. She's my first reader, and she tells me when I put really dumb male things in. So,
yeah. Well, I hope she does it in a sensitive, respectful way, because you are a sensitive man.
Yes, I am.
We don't want her to make you cry. That would be bad.
That is bad, and I would love for you to speak to her.
I'll put a good word in for you. I got your back, pal.
Great, great.
If you love great thrillers, you're going to love this guy's books. You know, The Teaching, The Resentment, The Excursion, which is the one that hooked me. The latest is The Delusion. Book five is coming in. Again, it's called?
Book five is called The Crisis. And
The Crisis.
It is. I've been moving from kind of dark psychological in these books to more of a crime action thrillers. And the Crisis, I'm just super excited about it. It's a breakneck thrill ride across the state of Florida, where a convenience store clerk must thwart a human trafficking ring in order to avert a nuclear missile strike on American soil. It's a lot in there.
There's a lot happening. That's a good sell line. I'm thinking, T.O. Payne, you need to do some research on that in Florida in January.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's the plan, with a nice fruity drink in your hand. And perhaps I could come down and do a podcast and talk to you while we're there, and we could do it with our toes in the sand.
I will, send you a lounge chair on the beach. Absolutely.
That. All right, good. So I'm going to show this to Greg, our producer. Don't these book covers look fantastic? You know, they say you judge a book by its cover. You write well, but you also make these books look like something you want to grab off the shelf and pick it up and open it up. How much effort goes into the book covers for you?
I have actually, around 2016, I started going to the Amazon bestsellers, psychological thrillers, top 50 page, and looking at the covers. And for about 3 years, I took a screenshot of those covers and watched how they changed and watched how the trends happen in psychological thrill covers. And I've continued now. Then I moved it to like once a week. Now I'm down to once a month, but it gave me appreciation of, you know, these are the best covers, you know, the top bestsellers. And so I can really recognize and identify what makes a really good cover. And I've attempted to do, you know, pull that type of information. You know, it's like a 2-minute exercise every week or so, pull that into my covers to make them as, you know, hopefully as good as the bestseller people have.
It's really smart. Perhaps a little nerdy in the beginning.
Way nerdy, yes.
Perhaps a little bit. You might have nerded out on it, but it paid off in the end, because these things do look fantastic. All right, I've taken up enough of your time. People want to talk to you out there. They want you to sign their books. I just appreciate you being here, and I love your stuff.
Well, man. I appreciate you having me here. This is great. It's a great conference so far. It is huge, and Trevor Noah last night was wonderful. Yeah.
Lots happening in San Diego at the American Library Association's annual conference. If you're in the book business, you are here right now, and that's why T.O. Payne is here. Award-winning thriller novelist. The latest book is called The Delusion. If they want to find you, where do they find you?
The best place to find me is at topayne.com, and it's just T-O, the word Payne, followed by an E. If you search for me, you're going to find all kinds of stuff on Thomas Paine.
It's a whole different guy.
And he's not very thrilling, to be honest.
No, long dead.
Yeah, but topayne.com. Is the best place. And Facebook, Instagram, and X, I'm on all of those, and my handle is either T.O. Payne or T.O. Payne Author.
You've been on the show before. This is your second visit. Can we get number three when the new book comes out?
Absolutely. It's going to be great.
My man, T.O. Payne. The new book is The Delusion. Pick it up wherever books are sold. Hey, thank you so much for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. Thank you to Greg, our producer. We're live in San Diego at the American Library Association Conference. SpeakerMatch.com makes it possible. Headline books, zoom into books. We love you. Thanks for slapping us in the middle of the fishbowl here, our big, beautiful podcast pavilion in San Diego. For my guest, T.O. Payne, I'm Burke Allen, and this is the Big Time Talker podcast. Wherever you go, whatever you do, make it a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.